Father, we are so grateful to you for your love, for the way you have come to us in the moments of our need. You were there. And Father, we are so grateful that you have not only demonstrated your love in the past, but you've demonstrated grace. And you have been willing to receive us as we are. And thank you, Father, that this morning we can gather together men and women whose lives are in disarray, challenged, bruised, and you pull us to yourself, and you love us, and you bring healing to our lives. You bring wholeness to our lives. You bring life to us. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Give to us hearts that are open to you. Give to us minds that ponder and think on you, that we might know you, and that we might know you more fully through your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the guidance you've given to us and the instruction you've given to us through Holy Scripture. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that opens our mind and illuminates us and gives light and understanding and discernment, that we might not only know what your word says, but that we can apply it to our life in personal ways. Lord, thank you for being here now. Do in us as you know best, and give to us a willingness to yield, to surrender, to embrace you as you give us direction and guidance and instruction. Lord, thank you for hearing our expressions of worship and our praise. Now, speak and bless us that we might hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we continue our focus on the family. It is a time of year when, between Mother's Day and Father's Day, that I like to reflect upon my life. And every time I pause and ponder my life, I'm reminded of how broken and how dysfunctional and how messed up my life can become. And it's really not about my life as much as it is about me and my engagement with the affairs of things around me. As I engage my world, as I engage other people around me, I discover three things. One, the grace of God. I discover how much I need the grace of God, and I am amazed at how gracious people are with one another. Now, that's not always true. Sometimes we feel like, people are not behaving very well. And sometimes we really do get all bent out of shape. We mess up and we do things that are not smart. And the painful part of it all is that God reminds us when we blow it. Doesn't he? He lets us know. And so do other people at times. Well, I don't know about you, but when I ponder family, I really focus more on me and my relationship to my wife, my children, my friends, and others around. And it is good for us to pause and ponder these matters. I tell you, if there's ever been a time, if there's ever been a day when families need help, it's today. There's so many forces exerted upon family and on individuals. There's so much pressure to achieve. There's so much demand on our time. My goodness. I was I don't have my phone on me, but I ought to pull my phone out and just show you how many emails come in every day. And then text. And then phone calls. I told my wife the other day that my phone has ruined my life. I don't have a life anymore. What about you? Do you feel that way? It's like everybody needs me now. You ever feel like that? And it reminds me of how great the needs are and how inept and ill-equipped and just unable I am to meet the needs. But that reminds me of the power of God. What we can't do, and the beauty of our inability is being exposed, is that it directs us to the one who does have the ability to meet every person's need. And so this morning, I want you to pull your chair up with me, and let's pull up together around the table, and let's reflect upon a new you in Christ. Okay? I want us to think about a new you in Christ. If we're going to have a positive impact on our family life, and if we're going to be all that our family needs us to be, and if we're going to realize the fullness of God in our family life experience, then we need to understand that it starts with me, okay? It starts with LaRue, and it will start with you. Now, I'm not pointing a finger. Well, maybe I am. You may feel like I'm directing my thoughts to you, but look, I have three fingers pointing back at me. So out of the four bullets, can't you share one for me? Will you take one for me and let me have the three? You know, so let's ponder this for just a moment. And again, we turn to the fourth chapter in the book of Ephesians. I tell you, Ephesians has so much that is beneficial, helpful for the family, okay? And I want you to see once again how practical God's Word is and how relevant God's Word is for you and me today. As we look at Ephesians chapter 4, I want to pick up in verse 17. Now, this past Lord's Day, we were in the first three verses. I want us to look at verses 17 through 32 this morning. Now, you're probably thinking, my land, we'll never get through with this sermon. Well, I'm not going to go word for word, maybe just verse by verse. How's that? We'll get through in a reasonable amount of time. But think with me about this thought. A new you in Christ. Now, look at what God's Word says. In verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and greediness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, instruction, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. My question is, do you want a better family life? That's the question I want to answer. And I'm going to ask you three questions this morning based upon this passage of Scripture, okay? There are three questions that I want to ask you, but here's my proposition. For family life to improve, for your family life to improve, some changes must be made. Now, we can all agree upon that. For our family life to improve, some changes must be made. And here is my focus. My focus, and I believe what God wants us to see from this passage of Scripture, that for our family life to improve, there needs to be a change in me. There needs to be a change in you. Something's got to change. Insanity has been defined as doing the same thing the same way, expecting something different. If you do the same thing the same way, over and over and over again, you will get the same result. And with a few exceptions. The rut will grow deeper because you're going the same, running the same circle over and over. The rut's going to get deeper. The wounds are going to become more tender. And the way out is going to become more difficult. So, if you want a better family life, we need to stop some of the things we're doing right now. And let's refocus. Well, I want us to explore this passage of Scripture with three questions. Let me give you the three questions up front. Okay? The first question is, does your family need a new you? Does your family need a new you? Second question, would you be willing to live God's way? Would you be willing to live your life God's way? Third question, how can you start living your new life God's way? How can you start living? What must you do? How can I get started living my new life God's way? Well, would you join me as we explore what God's Word says about these three questions? Does your family need a new you? In verses 17 through 19, could I just point out a few things in the King James translation? This is the New King James. And then I want to share with you this passage of Scripture from a different translation. Actually, it's more of a paraphrase. But listen to the Scripture. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer live or walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk and live in the, and here's the first thing, the futility of their mind. That is, they're clueless. They're clueless. They don't understand. They're clueless about how they are living their life. They don't see what's going on in their life. Verse 18 says, having their understanding darkened, they're living in darkness. They do not see. They do not have the light of God's Word shining in their mind to give them the ability to see and understand what it is that's going on. And so they're living in darkness. And then being alienated from the life of God, they have wandered away. They found themselves living life totally contrary to what God would have them live. And they're clueless about it because they're living in darkness and they've wandered away from the life God would have them live. And then because of the ignorance that is in them, the lack of understanding, they do not know the Word of God. And friend, if you don't know what God says do, it's probably safe to say you will not do what God says do. Now, you've got to know what Scripture teaches. But he goes on. He says, because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart is blind, and their heart is now hardened toward God. The Scripture goes on in verse 19, being past feeling. That is, in the blindness of their heart and their misunderstanding, they're living life and they're experiencing life in a way that is not intended by God. And it is destroying them. It is ruining them. It is giving them bad attitudes. It's giving them bad habits. It's giving to them everything that is negative, abrasive, and harmful, and hurtful, so that those around them are being bruised and wounded and hurt, and they don't even know. And truth of the matter is, they no longer have a heart that is sensitive or feels the pain of another. They have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, all of this is not good. Do you understand? Now here's my question. Does any of this describe you? Does any of this describe you? Are there times when you're very insensitive to the things you have said or done? Or maybe you say, well, you know, I don't care if it does hurt your feelings. The truth hurts. Have you ever had somebody tell you that? The truth hurts, doesn't it? But what exactly are they saying? Well, let me tell you. God speaks truth in love. There is tenderness and compassion in how God comes to us. And yet we justify our behavior toward one another, especially in the family, and we can be so cold and harsh and thoughtless and insensitive. So I ask you a question. Does your family need a new you? The only way your family is going to get a new you is through Christ and His work in you. And how beautiful is His work in us. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be afraid to approach Jesus. If your life is described in any form or fashion in these verses that I've just read, you don't have to think, well, I'm too bad. God will never receive me. He won't forgive me. I deserve harsh treatment. Let me tell you what God will do. He will treat you just like the prodigal son. The prodigal son demanded everything that was his, that he had his right to claim, that he had as an inheritance. He wanted everything that was his to have. And his father gave it to him. And that boy left and he went into a far country. And what did he do? He squandered his inheritance. He wasted it away, partying and playing. He spent everything. And then when he didn't have any money, suddenly he realized he didn't have any friends either. Everybody's gone. And he was hurting. And he was determined to make it work. He was determined to stick it out, for the better day had to be right around the bend. But it didn't come And here is a Jewish boy has found himself feeding hogs and eating that which he would have fed the hogs. And the Bible tells us that he came to three things. First, he came to himself. The scripture says, and he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he thought, you know what? My father's servants are treated better than this. Here's what I'll do. I'll go home and I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Would you receive me as one of your servants? He knew the graciousness and the grace of his father. He knew how he treated servants. And he thought, if I could be treated like a servant of my father's, that would be like royalty. And so he came to himself after he came to his end. Everything was gone. He came to his end, then he came to himself. And the third thing he came to was his father. And as he approached his father saw him in the distance. What does that tell you? The father was watching for that boy to come home. The father knew that this boy was going to come home. In his heart, he longed to see that boy coming home, just like God wants to see you and me come home. Well, he came to his father. And you know the rest of the story. Well, if these verses describe you in any form or fashion, I want you to know you don't have to fear God. Don't beat up yourself. Bow yourself before the Lord God and receive his grace and his mercy and allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to transform your life in Christ and through Christ. And God will make a new you. He'll remake you. Well, so my question, does your family need a new you? Listen to another translation. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God, from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against God. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Well, does your family need a new you? Let me ask, would you be willing to live God's way? Look at what Paul says in the next few verses. Verse 20, look at God's word. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In these verses, Paul says, here's how you can have a new you. My question is, would you be willing to live as God wants you to live? His way. I want to point out three things in these verses. The first is that we can be renewed. We can be renewed. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, behavior, what you are doing with your body and with your words and everything about your life, what you do really is the overflow and outflow of your heart and mind. As a man thinks, so is he. It is as you think, as you are, the true you is really coming out. And I want to say that if all of us could see the true self, we wouldn't like it. The only reason we can appreciate what we see is because of the grace of God at work in us. None of us are a step ahead of anybody else, I can assure you. But so I ask you, I point out to you, first of all, that in verse 23, you can be renewed by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that will bring renewal, and it starts in your mind. You've got to admit, you've got to recognize and admit that there's a need for God in my life. That I'm not sufficient for all that's going on in my life. I need help. And then you've got to be willing to humble yourself and ask God to forgive you and redeem you. And He will, if you are sincere. There can be a new you. But before there's a new you, look at what he says prior. In verse 22, there's something you've got to put off, okay? And Paul says that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. You've got to put off the old man. You are in the battle of your life as a believer. Because there are two forces vying for your heart, for your soul, for your mind. And one is the old man. That's the flesh. And the flesh, the natural man, is an enemy toward God, because the natural man, when you do what comes natural, it is not going to please God. And that's why we need to put off the old man, fight against, resist the old man, but we must put on the new man. Look at the scripture, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which God has created according which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now let me say a word about holiness. What God is wanting you and me to do is to allow our lives to, for us to take the initiative to dedicate, to set apart our life from our desire, our will, to God's purpose. He wants us to be set apart, separated from the natural to the supernatural. He wants you and me to embrace Him and to separate ourselves, to put aside and to defeat the old man by the Spirit of God at work in us as we embrace the new man. And friends, I'm going to tell you, some of the most precious moments in my life have been listening to the testimony of children whose daddies have been saved, and listening to them say things like, I've got a new daddy. My daddy is not the same man he used to be. My daddy, and he goes on, and these children go on talking about how radically different their dad is now. It's like, I really like my daddy. They want to be with their daddy because of what God has done in that man's life. So I ask you the question, once again, does your family need a new you? Are you willing, would you be willing to live God's way? Are you willing to open your life to the work of God through the Spirit and the Word? Would you let God have control of your life? Take your hands off the steering wheel and trust Him. Well, there is one other question I would ask. How? It's the how question. Okay? Everybody needs to know, how do I live God's way? So my question is, how can you start living your new life? How can you start? And Paul, that's where he picks up in verse 25 and he moves forward in this passage of Scripture. He not only presents the challenge and gives a remedy for the problem, but now he tells us how we can flesh out this new life. Look at God's Word. Listen to what it says. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So what is he talking about? Stop being deceptive with one another. You see, have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, as long as you don't tell everything, there can be peace in the family. You don't have, you can tell them enough, but you don't have to tell them everything, because if you tell them everything, then they'll get upset. Now just share the good. In other words, share what they want to hear you say and don't say anymore. Is that good? That means you're living a deceitful, deceptive life. And that's not good. Friend, every married woman deserves to have a husband who will walk in and bear his soul to her. This is who I am. And not live a lie before her. And if your wife doesn't like what she sees, and she's a woman of God, then it's time for you to clean your act up, right? We've got to clean our lives up. We ought to be able to bear our soul, and our children say, my goodness, if that's what God does, I want God in my life. Is that unfair to ask of a man? Ladies, you ought not be deceptive and deceiving, cunning with your husband. You've got to be honest. You say, well, I can't be honest with that man. Why not? Why not? Can you not be truthful? Children need to see men and women, moms and dads, who so live the Word of God that they know that it always pays well and good to speak the truth. Tell the truth. Honesty is God's way, and it's the right way, and it's the best way for you and me. Be honest. If you've messed up, be honest about it. And seek God's grace and forgiveness. Well, Paul, he goes on. Let me share with you another translation. Here's what Paul says. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, or has put His seal on you, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's how we can live our new life. That's where we start. You start with the truth and you bear witness to the truth. So, put away lying. Don't be angry. And sin. What does that mean? Be angry, sin not. It means put away unrighteous anger for righteous anger. That's how can one be right in anger? Well, I'll tell you. You ought to be angry at Satan for the destruction he brings to people's lives. You ought to be angry at evil and every expression of evil on the face of this earth. Be angry and engage with the Word of God. Apply the truth of God to the evil and confront it with truth. Isn't that what we are to be about? We love people, but I hate what evil does to people. We can love the sinner because all have sinned. But that doesn't mean we have to accept sin. Reject evil. Be angry for what it does. But don't be angry in an unrighteous way. Like, I'm mad at you because you hurt my feelings, and I'm going to get back at you. I will. You understand? Are we ready to move on? My question is simply this. Does your family need a new you? Would you be willing to live God's way? And how can you start living your new life now? It all begins with an admission. Lord, you're right. Lord, you're always right. My family needs a new me. And Lord, I'm coming to you. And I'm asking you to forgive me where I have failed to do what I know is right. I'm asking you to forgive me for choosing to do what I know is not right. Father, please forgive me. Come into my heart and life and take charge and give me the courage to start right now doing what's right. Lord, help me start right now by identifying with you, taking my stand with you. Are you ready to start that new life? It begins in what you do with Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to Jesus. That's where we are. That's our need. Come to Jesus. A new you can make your family life better. A new you can make your family life better. Why would we not want a new me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the challenge you give us in your word. Lord, in this moment, our prayer is that you would give to us courage, courage to embrace the life that you are calling us to live. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to simply trust you, to embrace you now, and to do as your Spirit has impressed upon our hearts. Thank you, Father, for this time of commitment. Lord, I pray that you would give courage to those who need to profess their faith in Jesus. And that they, and Lord, give to them the courage to step forward and follow in obedience with believers' baptism. Father, I pray for those who are seeking a church home and they're looking for a place where they can plant themselves and invest themselves in ministry and service. Lord, I pray that you would confirm in their hearts whether this is where you want them or not. But Father, most of all, for all of us, our prayer is that you would help us to start a new life today. Lord, help us to be brave, courageous, and obedient. And start afresh with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.